Life after 65 is when people start to think of sustainability, not just of life, but of the means to pay for it. You've got a good chance of making it till 90, but if you're a federal retiree or about to become one, you're probably doing better than average. Here with some of the numbers, federal retirement expert Tammy Flanagan. And Tammy, you heard a hearing at which the aging population trends were discussed, and some of the numbers were pretty surprising.
That's right, Tom. I was just happy to see that our Senate is looking at these issues and held this special hearing with some really good expert testimony about some of the things we need to think of as a country, and then it trickles down to individually what we need to think of for our own lives as we age. One of the things that was brought to light was that every day 10,000 of us will turn 65, and currently already there are 49 million people in this country who are 65 and older. So this is becoming an issue for, you know, everybody to think about, you know, how is this going to impact health care, and how is it going to impact helping us stay healthier so that maybe we can age more gracefully and live out those years into our 90s. And believe it or not, the second fastest age group of our country are people turning 100 and older.
I was going to say it might be a good thing to go into selling Buicks or something, but once you're 100, probably you're not going to be getting a new Buick anytime soon.
Well, you never know. If we age properly, maybe we'll still be driving well into our final decade of life.
Yeah, so do you feel that in your work that most people that you deal with have got that understanding that retirement is the beginning of a very long phase at which you will not be working at your standard income level?
Yeah, I really think many of us underestimate that longevity, the fact that many of us will actually be living out our retirement in many cases for more years than we spent working in our federal career. So that affects financial planning, making sure our money lasts as long as we do, and it also affects our health, trying to prevent things that might shorten that life expectancy or make those final years less comfortable. So I do think that we need to spend more time, you know, even in my field, training people to understand that planning for retirement could be a long time of planning.
And if people, those that don't have particular disabilities or chronic health problems, project out, they can see where maybe the daily living expenses can be sustained. But if you suddenly have a sharp uptick in health care costs, that pretty much upsets everything, doesn't it?
It does. And I think one of the things we underestimate, because I hear this all the time, probably my most common question I get is, do I need Medicare when I turn 65? And I think part of that comes from the fact that, you know, today at age 65, many of us hopefully are still doing all the things we did when we were 45. We still feel good. We still travel. We still, you know, are living life to the fullest. But yet, if we could have the foresight to look 10, 20, or even 30 years down the road, we may develop these chronic illnesses of aging that so many Americans suffer from that cause very expensive treatment and ongoing treatment. You've heard the saying, you know, scheduling your social life around your doctor visits, which comes true for many Americans as they age in life. And so we have to remember that we need full wraparound health care, and sometimes that includes Medicare plus our federal health benefits.
Yeah, so the basic answer is yes, but that can get costly if you don't need it, that is, so to speak.
Right, yeah, it's costly no matter which way you look at it, from the standpoint of, you know, financing programs for the elderly, such as Medicare and even Medicaid programs as a country. But individually, we have to think about, are retirement savings going to help cover the cost of that care, the out-of-pocket expenses that our insurance may not cover, including things like long-term care is another issue that we need to think about as we approach retirement years.
Yes, and I've been reading some stories, too, about the healthcare, the long-term healthcare insurance industry is itself, in some cases, some of the providers are collapsing, and so the coverage people paid for decades may not actually be there.
That's true, because the only way insurance really works is that if not everybody takes advantage of the policies they've purchased. You know, we all contribute to insurance, and yet not everybody uses it the same way, which is why we have insurance. But in the case of long-term care insurance, many people who purchase policies actually end up taking advantage of them and using them. So they have to structure this benefit in such a way that it's affordable, yet profitable for the insurance industry, or why would they be in the business? So it's an ongoing issue.
We're speaking with Tammy Flanagan, Senior Benefits Director at the National Institute of Transition Planning. And one of the things you cite from that hearing is that genetics determine 20% of longevity, but lifestyle and environment dictate the other 80%. So you can have a lot of control over what happens, but not complete control because you're programmed.
That's right. Yeah, a lot of people think, oh, well, my father or my mother lived, you know, only until 78, so I'm planning to only live until 78. But yet, like, for instance, in my case, my mother was a heavy smoker. I've never smoked. So hopefully that will have some bearing on my life expectancy compared to hers. And this testimony from some of the expert witnesses pointed out some things people can do to prevent things like falling. Falling accounts for many, many deaths of older Americans in this country. But if you take yoga or if you do an exercise program where you can improve your balance and you can improve your flexibility, you can also prevent those falls that might end up in the hospital or needing long-term care, unfortunately. And nutrition, you know, there's things we can do with our diet that will help us. I know my dad always used to say, you are what you eat. And I think as I get older, I start to realize how important that little phrase was.
And also, I think a lot of people try to balance, I guess this comes under the taking care of yourself idea. Part of it is mental stimulation. And people try to balance where they live now, say in the D.C. metropolitan area or near one of the big cities, especially if they're federal employees, when you retire, you still have all the high costs and taxes and traffic and so forth, but you also have the conversations and the activities and the cultural stimuli that made you move there in the first place.
You hear a lot of people who say, I want to move away from this traffic and the city and everything that goes with, you know, the day-to-day commute to work. But yet, if you move too far away, up in the mountains or over by the ocean where there's more isolation and less traffic and less people, you might also be isolating yourself from the things that stimulate you to help you stay engaged and stay active in life. So you have to be careful. There's a fine line between too much isolation.
Yeah, you can find a low-tax area with cheap one-story houses and palm trees, but you might be bored to death.
That's right, and that's part of aging gracefully as well, as to staying engaged and keeping your mind active so that you don't lose that important facility.
So a lot of feds toward the end of their career right now are thinking about filing their taxes for this 2018 season. So it's probably a good time to think about long-term planning. And what are the top pieces of advice in 2018?
That's right. So tax planning, financial planning, all this goes into retirement planning. So for those federal employees who are looking at retirement on the horizon, one of the things I suggest is that while you're doing your taxes for 2017 tax year, if you're going to retire in 2018, maybe at the end of that process, do a dummy tax return, but substitute in the numbers for your retirement income as opposed to the salary that you might have had last year, and see how that changes what taxes you're going to have to pay, and maybe to give you a reality check to know that federal retirees have to pay taxes because, luckily, they have income.
And what's your thought on canceling term life insurance policies? A lot of people tend to do that because it's an expense. And If your kids are grown and educated, you figure you don't need life insurance anymore. But on the other hand, could it be possible to have that payout for your spouse?
Yes. Life insurance is something I discuss a lot with retirees, because we get to the point as we get older where if you do maintain life insurance, especially our government Fegley life insurance, it gets more expensive. So the cost of it goes up as our life expectancy goes down. But the main purpose of having term life insurance is to cover that term of need. And unfortunately, it's really needed by the young more so than the older people. It's to cover that unexpected, untimely death. So someone in their 30s who might be buying a house, starting a family, having a lot of expenses that if they weren't here would really leave their family hanging on the lurch, that's the person who needs a lot of life insurance, and luckily for them, it's very inexpensive. But when we approach our 60s and 70s, I hear many people say, I've paid for this insurance policy so many years, I hate to drop it now because I didn't get my money's worth. And I said, that's a good thing. You don't really want to get your money's worth out of most insurance. So there's nothing wrong with canceling or reducing the amount of life insurance you have if you don't need it anymore. But as you said, your spouse might need the proceeds of that benefit if you still have a mortgage, or if you didn't provide sufficiently through other survivor benefit programs.
Tammy Flanagan is Senior Benefits Director at the National Institute of Transition Planning. As always, thanks so much.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me.
We'll post this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One.